Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are looking at what is leadership. We are talking about how to drive peak performance in your career, how to create peak performance in your organization. And with us, we have David Donaldson, the Finance Director for Emirates Investment Authorities and ICAEW Chartered Accountant. He's a graduate of Oxford University with a master's from Oxford. He worked at Arthur Andersen, Salomon Brothers. He was the chief financial officer for Abraj Capital. And the list goes on and on. Some of his corporate companies he prefers to keep anonymous. Let's just welcome to the show. It's David. Welcome back to Ion Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
And we also have Vimal Sethi, Managing Director of Synchron. He's not a doctor, but he's married to one. He's been in IT for 20 years, and the bedrock of which was laid in the behemoth Microsoft. And then he exited to do a startup, went from the aircraft carrier Microsoft to working out of Starbucks, which he is a fan of, and started Fusion Development Middle East, where he was vice president and GM, built that company up into a sprawling success, and now is the managing director of Synchron, a company that started at a kitchen table, now has over 5,000 employees. Vimal, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
We're also having a competition here, so if we're looking at what's your definition of leadership, you can SMS us at 4001. Whoever has the best description is going to win a prize. I have no idea how we're going to pick who has the best one, but we'll figure that out. Here's a few of them that are coming in. A couple of people are asking for mentorship. And right now, I guess it's the worst traffic in Sharjah at the moment. Our guests here are saying they feel sorry for people who may be stuck in that. Leadership, here's one I'd like to think is like the head of the family, being there and let the family develop and let them do the best they can. Here's another one. Leadership is the ability to motivate and drive people to their absolute best, from Suhail. Here's another one. Leadership is the one who inspires his followers and creates successful leaders, not followers. I guess he's saying the leaders that create more leaders. But just at the break there, I really thought it was interesting what you were saying, David, is that, you know, as we prepare our senior management or senior executives, we give them a toolkit, and that toolkit is focused on the tangibles. It's focused on how you create a business plan, how you create a cash flow, how you create your KPIs, your MIS, and all that. None of that is giving you any toolkit to deal with the subconscious of the organization, and that's where you really unlock the performance. And I don't know if you find that challenging, or is this one going to be one of the biggest changes that we're going to see in the 21st century as we move forward?
I think it is, in terms of how you unlock it. I mean, that depends, I think, largely on the way you present yourself to the organization and how approachable you are to particularly the more junior staff. There's been a lot made and a lot of academic research done around this whole concept of emotional intelligence, which I think has some value. I think it's been slightly overdone, but a lot of it is about basic common sense. It's taking basic human interaction and basic human emotion that you would have in any context, family, school, or otherwise, and putting it into a workplace. So it's largely, you know, observing people, looking at body language, looking at soft things like absenteeism and trying to analyze absenteeism, and also having a sort of an open door policy where people can actually talk freely about anything that's on their mind. Now, in many ways, that sounds easier said than done, and how many people really do that? But you certainly need to encourage that, because an unhappy organization will have staff mobility, will have staff turnover problems, will have motivation problems, will have performance problems, irrespective of whether their sales are at the peak of their KPIs, their EBITDAs, what it should be, and everything else. So emotional intelligence is very important. Again, it's a lot of it's applied common sense. Think about it. As somebody mentioned the family concept on the SMS. I think that's very important. How do you manage your family? How have you managed your children from the age of 2 to 25? And you know, I'm not saying everybody's a child, but you know, you've read their signs, you've read their, you know, their emotions and over time. And so I
you don't have KPIs for your children though. At all, Vimal. How about what do you say? I mean, you're basically in a bit more of an entrepreneurial environment. Do you have a different toolkit that maybe you use or different approaches?
No, I think to add to what David said, I think as a leader, it's also important to be humble and to have empathy and to really you know, while you're making sure you're focused on. On the goal and making sure that people have clarity in the work that they do, it's important to engage with people. It's important to understand what they're going through, to provide mentorship and coaching, and also give people opportunity to grow. I think that's some of the things that, as a growing organization, is to take risk and to allow people to put themselves in situations where they have the ability to grow. And I think that's what a great leader does.
I mean, on another hand, is leadership overrated? I mean, we create all this academia and all this writing about leadership, but realistically, it's the first followers or first couple followers that actually make the difference in the organization. You know, you look at Faisal, for example. Without the four or five guys who came behind him, it wouldn't have happened. You look at Mark Zuckerberg. Without those four or five programmers who followed underneath him, there wouldn't have been anything. So, in fact, the biggest impact player is the guy, you know, the two follower number one, two, and three. Do we give undue credit to the leader himself? In fact, the leader's nothing without his follower.
Well, I think that's a very valid point. I mean, the leader is the one with the vision or the strategy, but the, you know, the other guys in the team are the ones that can deliver it. I don't know what Mark's code writing ability is, but certainly a lot of guys got very rich because they took the equity and the layer below. So, absolutely, the concept of the sole entrepreneur as the sole deliverer of the leadership. Complete fallacy, I think, and I think you're absolutely right. He needs loyal lieutenants, and you can go way back to Job, and you can go way back to Gates, and see that concept. You know, they had guys around them, but they were probably the last examples of where their personality was a substantial part of the success of the business. Now, I think it's about a team of about a dozen people with different skills.
But you also almost see the biggest contribution not being by the leader himself. So, for example, if you look at the letter that was written by Einstein to create the atom bomb or create atomic energy, that spark came from one of his first students who said, look, I been working on this. This is what I think. And he actually primed Einstein to write the letter. Einstein would have never written that letter if it wasn't for one of his first followers. So this is a really interesting concept. But the other thing I always think is interesting is that, you know, when you look back at the leaders of today, they're so concerned with what message they're sending, but they have very little interest in what message is being heard. And is this one of the big gaps that you don't really have enough feedback systems? You think you see now they've started with employee engagement surveys. They've started with the 360 review. They have a couple nascent tools in development. But, you know, isn't that infinitely more important? It doesn't matter what I'm saying to you. What you're hearing is the actual important thing. Right. And for me, it's also, you know, when some staff, you know, when someone I'm working with, it's not what they're saying. I have to read behind the lines and really know, you know, they could be like, yeah, we're going to do that. And, you know, it's not getting done. It's not going to happen. is this a challenge that we're facing? Silence here. Let's look at the leadership course that we have. We have people saying, leader who believe themselves can do those things which others cannot accept easily and create a path and draw a line only because of difference in approaches, that they need to visualize the real destination. There's one. Leadership is the ability to delegate and use the available skill sets and resources to steer a healthy growth and create a ground for innovation development. For those of you just joining us, we're having a competition to see who can send in the best definition of leadership. You can send it to 4001. I don't know if you guys wanted to tackle that question again about the communication piece. Is that a challenge or... Is it something that is not?
I think actually one of the most important points is the point you the contributor just made on the SMS again about delegation. Controlled delegation is, I think, a critical part of the success of any entrepreneurial structure or any company in its infancy.
I think that's
very important. I mean, we're moving away into esoteric things like communication. Communications are vitally important. I don't disagree. But
you just called it esoteric, so it can't be that.
Well, okay, fair enough. But the ability to hire the right people and delegate the right people and give them the right scope and compensate them, controlled delegation is a key success factor, I think.
The ability to delegate.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said earlier, Shane, it is about the team. You know, there's very few examples of the one person that created success and growth. So, you know, I think there's sayings that a great leader will hire great talent and get out of the way and let them take the idea and work towards the vision. You know, and it's about providing that opportunity for others to really deliver on the vision and the purpose. So, I think communication is key. I think having a very, very engaged team and making sure that what you're communicating lands, you'll see in your team's behavior. You'll see eventually in your results. So I think it's key. I think it's key.
Well, when you talk about delegation, I mean, I think you need a certain infrastructure. I think, you need the right KPIs, the right MIS. You need to have an operational audit function. And I think a lot of companies in the Middle East, they don't have proper audit functions internally. They may have the external audit function, but operational audit, what's actually happening inside that business unit. I don't know if you guys agree that's one of the key factors you would need to really be able to delegate on a large scale effectively.
Absolutely. I mean, clearly we have internal audit functions in my sector, but it is a major deficiency in the Middle East. But it's actually one of the major challenges, because the internal audit practices of the Big Four and Protiviti are fine at the management level and the partner level, but they have huge problems in getting the quality of staff to actually deliver the audit. So we're in a bit of a tricky situation here. The volume and the demand on internal audit processes in the Middle East has never been higher. The ability of these firms to sell has never been easier. But the ability for them to staff is a huge problem, and they do not do it very well at all.
Well, joining us in just a minute is an audit guru. We have Ismail Mughab, the founder of AuditX, a man who has over four decades of audit experience from Africa into the Middle East. And so we are going to be tackling, again, another critical element to drive peak performance in your career and in your organization. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And we're looking at what it takes to drive peak performance in your career and in your organization. We're also tackling some of the more esoteric questions like, what is leadership? People actually writing in, quite a few people, that leadership is co-creating value that is purpose-driven. That's an interesting one. Leadership's the ability to delegate and use available skill sets and resources of your team. Leadership is a quality of an individual who can lead a group of people with values to achieve any goal in any circumstances. There's a alpha player who wrote that one for sure, but also helping us on this tour of the executive mindset is David Donaldson, the director of Emirates, a financial director of Emirates Investment Authority, one of the leading sovereign funds in the region. He's a graduate of Oxford, and he's a former CFO at Abraj, one of the leading private equity houses in the region. He's also an ICAEW chartered accountant and laid the bedrock of his career in the investment banking space, which is one of the more sexy places to work. So, David, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
And we also have an tech guru, a man who laid the bedrock of his career at Microsoft and went on to lead a startup in Fusion Development Middle East, which was a huge success. And now he is the managing director of Synchron, a company with over 5,000 staff that started from a kitchen table. Vimal, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
And as we were talking about leadership as delegation and what you need, audit was obviously one of those things. And to join the discussion now is Ismail Mughab, founder of AuditX, a gentleman who has almost over 40 years of audit experience. He's also an ICAEW chartered accountant and a first-class auditor. He has thrown himself into the, after working and earning his stripes in the mean streets of London, he threw himself into the pioneering markets of Africa, where he worked for Coopers and Lybrand across several geographies in the African continent. He then came to Dubai in the 70s, I think is 1977, if I'm correct, and then Coopers and Lybrand broke up, and he went on to become a partner, an audit partner at Grant Thornton, before he caught the entrepreneurial bug and started his own audit firm. So actually, let's welcome Ismail Mughab to our panel. Ismail, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you. And interesting, all three of you guys have worked for huge companies and then went into more entrepreneurial or smaller teams. Ismail, how big is your team today?
Well, I started in about 5 years back. I have built up a team of about 10 consultants, large portfolio now relatively over the years, because of my stay here for much longer period, over 30 years plus in this country. So, you know, built up a good team.
Right.
Already, yeah.
Right. And so, we were just talking about, you know, one of the things an effective leader needs to do is build an internal operational audit function. What role does audit play in driving peak performance of an organization?
Well, I think the audit plays a very, very important role. It's external audit, as they say, is a compulsory situation, and clients sometimes don't like it. But that is only a statutory role which auditors have to play. But I think more of it depends upon having the operational and internal auditing side. Because when you do the external auditing, you are basically fulfilling the statutory requirements to express an opinion on the accounts which have been prepared by the management. But when you do the internal auditing, you can actually find a lot more details into the working operational side of the business, profitability, HR side, sales side, production cycle, and all these details you can work out, which is not done in detail through the external audit. So operational auditor is very essential, very important, because that is where the efficiency, the cost cutting, the savings to the bottom line can come about.
But also, you know, a lot of CEOs, they're not typically fond of their internal audit, because the internal audit supersedes them to the board level. And I don't know how respected that function is in a lot of organizations, because in fact, not only do you need to have your reporting line to the board, but also the compensation and incentive scheme should not be decided by the CEO. So it's almost kind of a mix where they say, okay, you can report to the board, but at the end of the year, I'm going to decide your budget. Doesn't that just wipe out the whole purpose of changing your reporting line?
In a way, yes or no, but I think the corporate governance rules now have part of their system the establishment of an audit committee, and then of course corporate governance itself also. So this form, by way of, in big structures, corporate structure, you have that kind of situation where it is required to be done by way of corporate governance.
Sure, but what I'm saying is that structure is there, but at the end of the day, who is deciding on how much of a bonus the internal auditor gets? It's still the CEO. Or, you know, is it actually mandated in the offer letter for the chief internal auditor that the incentives and compensation is actually being handled by the audit committee? And I don't think that we've crossed that line yet in the Middle East.
Actually, there is another committee called Remuneration Committee. So through the corporate governance rules now, again, you have an audit committee, you have a remuneration committee. So all these committees are to some extent independent, but reporting ultimately, as you say, in a corporate structure to the same board of directors and all that. So the remuneration side will not be actually left only to CEO, but the remuneration committee of the corporation will actually have its own rules and regulations, and internal auditors being the employees of the company in most of the time, obviously they will be subject to the internal rules and regulations. So that bias one is trying to avoid will probably not happen because it goes through the remuneration committee. But if you are outsourcing that, you can also outsource internal audit function to professional firms. So if it is independent professional firm carrying out the internal audit function, then of course the remuneration side is totally, employee remuneration side is totally out of that because then it's a separate subject.
I would disagree because how are you going to get the repeat business if you cross the CEO? It's even more under the thumb of the CEO saying, you know, if you're not delivering these results, we're canceling your contract.
Well, Shane, in a way you are right, but even for the statutory external audit, it is invariably stated that it's a necessary evil. Company doesn't like it, CEO doesn't like it, managing director don't like it, but as they say, it's a necessary evil because the statute says since you are holding the funds of the third parties, public money, therefore it's got to be done. So it is one of those situations which the corporation or the company or CEO may or may not like it, but one of those things which needs to be done. But to overcome that internal audit side and operational side audit, the corporate governance rules and the audit committee and the general body will have to decide that, okay, this is something which we have to be done, therefore they have to be paid. So I think they have to overcome that stigma in their own mind about the, you know, the role of the auditor is very difficult because you are criticizing the very people who are going to be paying your fees, and you are criticizing the very people who is going to be paying your remuneration if you are internal audit side. So it's very difficult, but unless the both sides agree to have it done, it won't be done. I mean, if they don't want it, right from the beginning, why employ an internal auditor? But now that you have agreed to employ under some rules and regulations, and employment will be also governed through the corporate governance rules, therefore, I think that risk is mitigated.
Vimal, here we have actually, you know, a managing director on the other side of the court here. What's your approach? Do you have internal operational audit? I mean, not just financial audit, but operational audit. Or what's kind of your approach with audit? Where do you stack up your corporate governance here?
So I think, Shane, it's worth mentioning that, you know, all the three of us have come from organizations that are global, that are very successful, and we're now doing startups or growing other companies. And I think it's because of the foundation and the experience that we've been through. All of these organizations have had internal audit functions. They're all audited. Most of them are public.
Right.
I think all of that learning that we've been through for the last, you know, 20, 30 years in our careers, it gives us that foundation to help, you know, startups or growing companies to do the right things. And yes, we do. We have internal audits. For us, it's in the delivery that we do for our clients. We have audit not just around our financial, but we actually audit the code and the development and the solutions that we create, that we offer our clients, have an internal audit to make sure they are where they should be in terms of excellence, in terms of quality. So it goes beyond just the numbers. It goes into quality and excellence.
This is Eye on Careers. We're talking about driving peak performance in your career, in your organization. What are the levers you can use? What role do some of these functions play? And an interesting discussion heating up about audit on the air here. We're going to be right back to find out how the narrative of incentives, controls, and compensation play into the audit function in just a minute.
Dubai Eye 103.8, award-winning news, business, sport, and lifestyle coverage. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And we are have a panel here with some of the top executives in the region looking at what it takes to drive peak performance in your career and in your organization. We have David Donaldson, the Finance Director of Emirates Investment Authority. Welcome to Eye on Careers, David.
Thank you, Shane.
We have Amal Sethi, the Managing Director of Synchron, a sprawling IT company with over 5,000 staff, which started at a kitchen table in New York. Vimal, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
That's it's a really exciting story, Synchron. So it's great to have you here. And, of course, we have the audit guru, a man who has 4 decades of audit experience across Africa and the Middle East, who laid the bedrock of his career in the mean streets of London before jumping into these pioneering markets. His name is Ismail Mughab. He's the founder of AuditX. Welcome back, Ismail.
Thank you, Jane.
So we were just having a chat offline about how this corporate governance works and the role that compensation plays in it. I mean, you can't just set up an audit committee or any of these functional committees. You actually have to change the way incentives are placed in the organization. You have to change the way compensation feels, and you actually have to relinquish power, right? Because you know, if I'm a CEO, I'm going to bring in a chief internal auditor. I have to relinquish the control of his incentives and performance to a board member. And in the Middle East, you know, these boards, these people may not even have experience with the business they're sitting on the board of, which becomes interesting challenges. How do you drive peak performance in this type of environment? Vimal, you were saying that you have an audit function in your company, but as you as the managing director, do you control their compensation and incentives?
Yes, we do.
Hey, there you go.
No, but again, you know, we see it as a very important tool for any organization. So, you know, it is about making sure we are on track, we're making the right decisions. It gives you insight, you know. It gives you the ability to make the right decisions based on a view that's very important. Sometimes it's about course correction. Sometimes it's about different types of behavior you want to drive inside your company. So you need to evaluate maybe the scorecard that you have in place. So it's extremely valuable. It is an important investment, but it is a partnership.
Well, I think the
go ahead, please go ahead.
I think the role actually, although it's called internal audit or internal auditor, the role varies. For example, if, as Vimal is saying, that you have an internal auditor who can be an operational auditor, there is a segment of business, regardless to the other things, financial audit, for example, the other segment of business which is delivering to the client, that needs to be looked at, that needs to be reviewed. I mean, there are engineers who are actually employed in electricity company in the internal audit department. When we normally talk about internal audit, one thinks immediately of jumps to the financial conclusion, financial audit, bookkeeping, checking receipts, payment invoices, etc., etc. But there are a lot more other professionals who are helping the corporations in the internal audit field in more technical side. For example, as I said, on power generation, there's a leakage of power. There is there's an overrun and there's employment of the staff. So these people actually go about and they do the technical review of the operations, and then they give very valuable input which can reduce the cost, bring about the efficiency, and then more satisfaction to your customer. Otherwise, I mean, if you did it all yourself without a second opinion, which you are getting from your operational auditor, I mean, you may get there or you may not get there. Or if you get there, you may not be 100% there.
So audit, obviously, for the general manager, it's one of the things I look for in executive search is the CEO or the GM or the MD who's really serious about driving peak performance. You know, you're going to want to institutionalize a very strong both financial audit, operational audit, and external audit process. What other, drivers does the manager have to drive peak performance in their organization, would you say? What other things are out there that, say, for example, Vimal, what are some of the things that you do to ensure your team is running at full stride?
I think one thing that's very, very key is being customer-centric. We spend a lot of time with our customers, understanding their business, making sure that the value that we provide delivers results for them. So it's understanding their customers, and if you have that as a key indicator and a key driver for your organization, it's a way of driving performance. So all of our employees, whatever project they work on, they really immerse themselves in our client's business, and by doing that, it gives them great context to the work that they do. So I think really being very customer centric and going deep with your clients and forming partnerships, again, helps drive that performance, because you're not just delivering a service, you're actually looking at the results that what you deliver does for your customers. And I think that's a great tool.
David, what are some of the things that you do? I mean, you've worked in some of the highest performing organizations where it was literally do or die for some of those companies you've worked for. What do you see as some of the key levers for driving peak performance?
The compensation framework can be a lever. I still think, just to come back to what you were saying about audit, you say you talk to some regional MDs and CEOs about they place a huge importance on the value of the audit function. I don't think that's true across the board. I firmly believe that I agree with Ismail that the vast majority of CEOs see the statutory external audit as a necessary evil, and the quality of the internal audit profession in this part of the world is very, very weak. So, again, that's not answering your question, so I would just challenge that as a performance driver. Should that be the case? No. In the West, is it the case? No. Here, yes.
No, but I just think you misunderstood me. What I said is the CEO or MD who's focused on driving peak performance will ensure that they have an internal audit function that's running.
Which is easier said than done.
And so a lot of the guys are not interested in driving peak performance because they either have a commanding market share or they have other reasons that keep the business competitive. But if you're in a pure competition market and you need to find your alpha, you will struggle without having a proper operational audit. That's the argument that I was placing forward.
Yeah, I think top performers or trying to achieve top performance, the compensation framework is important. It depends whether you're a revenue generator or an infrastructure support person, because they're slightly different models. For an infrastructure support person, like an audit function, like a financial function, the issues of quality, accuracy, attention to detail, these things are very important. Are they drivers of performance? No. I think recognition is important. I think promotion is important. Having a transparent and visible promotion structure and compensation structure. You'd be surprised, particularly in the Middle East, how many of the company's compensation decisions and criteria are not communicated to the employee. They get 100,000 dirhams in their bank account at EMBD, and that's it. I've seen that all over the place. So that's obviously something that needs to be worked on. How do you drive this? You drive it through leadership and example, and you reward people, for taking a risk, for openness and transparency, and for technical competency.
Transparency, and I think the subtext of that is a sense of justice.
Yes,
within fairness. The organized fairness and justice. Ismail, we're coming close to the end of the show here. So, what's your quick last piece of advice for anyone out there who wants to, be more successful in their life and career? Do you have one, or did someone else want to? Why don't I go through some of the leadership quotes while you guys think about what that last piece would be? Was we were having a competition. I'm not sure how to pick because we've had so many entries. It's unbelievable. Here's one of the leadership explanations: trust, teamwork, and focus, the keystones of any proficient leader. I think he meant touchstones. A good leader will surround himself with the right talent that complement the requirements of the job. So again, touching on that delegation piece, which really seems to continue to be a theme. Here's one from Annis: empowering, especially followers, to be the best version of themselves. Proper delegation, leading by example, and jumping off your ego. I like this one. I don't know. What do you guys think of this? When leadership is a quality of an individual, can lead a group of people with values to achieve any goal in any circumstance. Maybe that might be a bit too much hoorah, but I kind of like it. David, you don't like that as... No. It's too American, right? You've been digging at the Americans the whole show.
That's Stanford 101, that.
Okay. Well, we're going to pick a winner. If you felt like you had a winning quote but didn't win, just send me an email to shane@shanephillips.net. That's shane@shanephillips.net. And we'll figure something out for you. So what's your last piece of advice, guys, as we go around the room, starting with Vimal?
I think it's for me, it's about following your passion. It's about taking risk, and don't be afraid to ask for advice. You know, I still yet in my career never taken a job where I haven't been absolutely terrified walking into the job on day one. So, and I've always been surrounded by great mentors, and I've always asked for advice and help, and it's been good so far.
David,
getting back to my earlier points, I think it's very important the individual defines their risk appetite, because this will very clearly help them look at their career path. Where do I go? You know, big farmer, small farmer was the example I use. I think be geographically mobile, network extensively, don't burn any bridges, have a very good LinkedIn profile, make the headhunters work, not the other way around, and also have a sense of humor and dignity in everything you do. But another thing, way back when I started, the first thing I said in this was, in your 20s, if you can do, get a professional qualification in finance, in law, in IT, or whatever. Get a professional qualification, because that will be with you for your life. You may end up going off on a diverse path, but that you always come back to that. And then, you know, get it before the kids come, otherwise it's a bit of a challenge.
Ismail?
I would agree with Dave. I think professional qualification after graduation, I prefer graduation, not even undergrad, after graduation is very, very essential, because that's like carrying your insurance policy in your future life. What you do thereafter is actually depends upon your traits, what you find interest in, where your passion drives you to. Some people actually want to do something in their life, but through the circumstances, they end up doing something else by default. So I think to focus the line and direction after graduation, that gives you an impetus to start your life and career. Thereafter, once you have decided upon your career passion, I very much believe in professional ethics, integrity, discipline, professionalism, clarity, and all that.
Well, thank you so much, Ismail. And with 4 decades of business under your belt, I think those are words of wisdom we can all follow. So thank you so much for coming out on the show tonight. David, thanks again for coming. Hopefully we can have you on again soon. And Vimal, thank you so much. For those of you listening, you can catch the podcast on dubaieye1038.com/eyeoncareers. That's it for this episode of Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, saying make sure the rest of your life is the best of your life.